All right, I will say good morning. A lot to do today. Today's daf is Chav Dalet 24. We are picking up from Chav Gimel Amud Beis 23b. The truth is, we got a little further down, but you know, let's just go back to the two dots, if that's okay, just to reorient ourselves a bit with the sugya we were discussing. So we're starting on 23b, Chav Gimel Amud Beis at the two dots, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 17 lines up from the bottom. But it goes quickly. So the Gemara says, there's an inherent contradiction. What's the inherent contradiction? Amrit, shvu shalo ochal, v'ochal ochlin shenar u'yu l'achila, v'shasa mashkin shenar u'yu l'shtiya pater. So on one hand, the Mishnah taught me that if a person says, I take a shvu shalo ochal, a shvu that I won't eat, and then I end up eating things that are not fit for consumption, or drinking things which are not fit for consumption, what's the halacha? The halacha is, I am pater. I'm pater. V'hadit tani, and afterwards we learned, shvu shalo ochal, v'ochal nevelos u'chev v'shkatsim v'ram asim chayiv. Yet, Rabbi said, we learned afterwards that if I take a shvu shalo ochal, swear that I'm not going to eat, and what happens? I end up eating nevelos, trefos, shkatsim, v'ramasim, all types of non-kosher items. What's the halacha? Chayif. We'll say the halacha is ultimately a yen that I'm chayif. So ask the Gemara, maishna resha de pater, umaishna sefer de chayif. Now, here's what's interesting. The Gemara presupposes over here that nevelos and trefos, shkatsim, v'ramasim, are the same things as ochlin she'inon ru'uyin lachila. They are essentially unfit for consumption. As such, we have a fundamental and inherent contradiction. The first part of the Mishnah says that if I take a shvuah that I'm not going to eat, and I eat something which is not fit for consumption, I am potter. Yet the Mishnah says that if I go ahead and I take a shvuah that I'm not going to eat, and I eat something, and I eat nevelos, trefos, shkatsim v'ramasim, which are also presumably unfit for consumption, yet what? I'm chayiv. So how do I understand the distinction? So it says the Gemara Holokash, it's not a contradiction. Reisha b'stam, they both say the first part of the Mishnah, that says shvo shalo ochal, and if I eat achila, if I eat ochlin shen ru'uyin la'achila and potter, that's stam, so that's why I make an unqualified shvua. Seifa b'mefarish. Both sides, the Sefer, the second part of the Mishnah, is where I explicitly articulate. I say, Shvo shalo ochal, nevelos, trefos, shkatsim, v'ramosim. And if I go ahead and I explicitly articulate it, then when I go ahead and I eat those items, I will be chayiv. So the Gemara says, one second, mefaresh nami gufe tikshe. But even if I'm explicitly articulating, there's still a kasha. Why? Says the Gemara. Amai musha mehar sinahu. I will say, I'm already under oath, so to speak. In other words, I'm already prohibited from eating nevelos, shefa, shkatz, and veramasim. Why, I will say? Because again, it's an aveira. I'm musha ma'omi, meaning I was already adjured at Har Sinai, right? I'm already under oath from Har Sinai not to eat these things. So why would I be chayiv if I go and I take an oshos? So we'll say, the assumption over here is that halacha lemaisa, if I'm already prohibited to do something, swearing that I'm not going to do it is a meaningless statement because it is already usher to me. As such, if I go ahead and I take a shvua not to eat nevelos, shefos, shkatsim, v'ramasim, that shvua effectively is meaningless. Why? Because these items are already prohibited to me. So what's the pshat? To which the Gemara says, Rav Shmuel of Rabbi Yochanan, Da'amri, Bekolal Dvarim Hamutarim Im Dvarim Harasurim. So we'll say the way this case would work is Einachinami. If you just make a shvua that says, Shvua Shalo Ochal, Nevelos, Trefos, Shkatsim V'ramasim, if that's all you say, then indeed such a shvua is meaningless because at the end of the day I'm already under oath, so to speak, not to eat these items. So what's the case? The case over here is where I made a shvua that was more encompassing. So for example, we'll say, Bekolo Dvarim Hamutarim Dvarim Harasurim means I take a shvua not to eat chicken, and not to eat nevelos, trefos, shkatsim, v'ramasim. So we'll say that's called the shvua kolel. So the idea is I'm including something that is permitted. Once the shvua devolves upon the permitted item, it also devolves upon what? The prohibited items as well. And therefore we'll say that could be a case where although I'm already prohibited to eat nevelos, trefos, shkatsim, v'ramasim, since my shvua includes a permitted item, it'll also devolve upon the prohibited item. And when I eat the nevelos, trefos, shkatsim, v'ramasim, not only will I be chayiv for violating an isa d'oraisa, but I'll also be chayiv for what? For violating my shvua. V'reish lakish amar, I atamotze ela b'mefaresh chatzishir, v'aliba d'rabanan. Ibistam Ali Rabbi Akiva Damar Odam Oser Atzmo Bechoshu. But according to Reish Lakish, the way this case could come up is as follows. Either where I take a shvua to eat less than a kizayis, to eat less mchazi shir, less than a kizayis on the velus shef ashkatz and v'namasim. Because remember, technically speaking, only chayiv midaraisa for a kizayis. So I could take a shvua to prohibit that which is not prohibited biblically, i.e. chatzi shir according to the Rabban, or according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva holds that through a shvu, a person could even answer themselves through a kol shul. Both said, the idea that Reish Lakish is saying is that what? That essentially the way to take a shvu on something that is already prohibited is to prohibit less than the shir prohibited midoraisa. So both say, both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are coming to try to figure out, how can I take a shvu to aser nevelos, trefos, shkatzim, v'ramasim, if it's already aser midaraisa, if it's already biblically prohibited? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, the way this works is with what we call bekolel dvarim hamutarim, dvarim ha'asurim. You take a shvua on a bunch of things, some of which are permitted, some of which are prohibited. As long as once the shvua devolves upon the permitted things, it also devolves upon the prohibited things. Therefore, asering it under the penalty of a shvua. Reish Lakish says, the way to make a shvua on these items that are already prohibited is prohibit a lesser shear, prohibit less than a kezayis, prohibit chatzi shear. Once you do that, the shvua devolves upon these items. So Bishlam Rabbi Yochanan Lamar Reish Lakish. So I understand why Rabbi Yochanan doesn't hold like Reish Lakish. Demokim lo lamas nisin kedivrei hakol, because ultimately, again, Rabbi Yochanan wants to establish the Mishnah in accordance with everyone's opinion, as opposed to Reish Lakish, who has to say either like this according to the Rabban or like this according to Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Yochanan has a desire to establish the Mishnah in accordance with the entire, with everyone, and therefore the easiest way to do that is with this Shvua HaKolel. Okay, that's one possibility. So he wants Reish Lakish, my time alone with Rabbi Yochanan, but why does Reish Lakish not hold like Rabbi Yochanan? So Amalecha, Reish Lakish will say, Ki amrinon iser kolal. When do we say, Rabosai, that an iser could include another iser? Rabosai, iser kolal means, when do we say that if you take a shavua upon a permitted item, it could devolve upon an already prohibited item as well? When do we say that? So tap of Chav Dalid, be iser haba me'ilov. Rabosai, that's only with an iser that comes about by itself. However, be iser haba me'ilov, be iser haba ayah de atzmo lo amrinon. Rabbi say a what we call a self-generated iser, a created iser, does not fall under the category of aser kolam. Rabbi say, what does that mean? Take a look at the Tap Rashi on Chav Dalad Amud Aleph. Bisra haba me'ilov, Rashi says. So he says, kigon ha'ochel nevela b'yom kippurim. So we'll say, we'll see this case later on. Let's say a person eats a nevela on Yom Kippur. Depligi rabban of Rabbi Shimon, the mechayvili rabban of Chadus mishum Yom Kippurim, va'af agav dahavya nevela mikame Yom Kippurim, ve'ein isra chalal isra. So we'll say, this poses an interesting case, because we're going to learn later on about isra chalal isra, the ability for one prohibition to devolve upon an already existing prohibition. So the Rabbanan hold that when you eat an avela on Yom Kippur, you're chayiv for Yom Kippur as well as for an avela. Why? Hacha chayil Yom Kippurim iser kolel hu dekodem ben hashmashas haya aser zeh ben avela umuter b'shchuta al le Yom Kippurim migo de iser haygavra b'shchuta mishum Yom Kippurim. So let's listen to this. So Rabbanon holds this as follows. You have this animal that's an avela before Yom Kippur. So it's prohibited to me as an avela. Now Yom Kippur comes, and Rabbanon said there's an additional iser. What's the additional iser? That I can't eat anything, even kosher food. Therefore, again, Rabbanon said what ends up happening over here is that the iser of Yom Kippur devolves upon the nevela as well. So now when a person were to go ahead and eat this nevela on Yom Kippur, they'd be chayiv twice. Once for Yom Kippur, and ultimately again, once for nevela. So we'll say, the Gemara suggests over here, when do we say Isser Kolel? That's only when the second Isser comes by itself, like Yom Kippur. Right, like Yom Kippur. But if it's a generated Isser, then Lemaisa again, then Lemaisa under those circumstances, we will not say Isser Kolo. So the Gemara says, Bishlam al Reish Lakish, Mishum Hachi Kapater Rabbi Shimon. So according to Reish Lakish, I understand why Rabbi Shimon holds that Shepater, Disanya, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol shehu lemakas velo amru kizayis al lekarbon. Because Rosh Rabbi Shimon holds that you get malchus ultimately again for any amount, and the only time we see the shear of kizayis, as Rabbi Bo say, is by a carbon. Elo Rabbi Yochanan, my time with Rabbi Shimon. Dipater. So we're according to Rabbi Yochanan, why is it that Rabbi Shimon will hold that Shepater? Midi hu taima elam yishum iser kolel. The only reason we'll be able to say is because of what? Because you have an issue over you have an iser kolel. Rabbi Shimon letame de lesle iser kolel. Oh, and I will say Rabbi Shimon goes according to his reasoning. Rabbi Shimon does not subscribe to the concept of an iser kolel. He just doesn't hold of this principle, I will say, as we'll see in just a moment. The Sanya. Here we go. Rabbi Shimon Omer, ha'ochal mevela b'yom kippurim. Potter. Well, so Rabbi Shimon holds that lemaisa again, if a person goes ahead and eats an avela on Yom Kippur, ultimately again they are potter. They are potter. But as they take a look at Rashi, it's almost right across in Rashi. It's about across in Rashi, about five lines down. Potter mechatos. So Rabbi Shimon holds be potter from mechatos. Why? The lo asi karis Yom Kippurim v'chayil al iser nevela o a iser ever menachai. Rabbi Shimon will say, ultimately, in the case of Nevela and Yom Kippur, that the Isser of Yom Kippur does not devolve upon the Nevela. Does not devolve upon the Nevela. Rabbi Shimon, understand, this is, we're going to see this case later on, but this is the paradigmatic case. This is the paradigmatic case, ultimately, again, of two things, two principles that have this. Number one, Isser Chalal Isser. Does one Isser have the ability to devolve upon an already existing Isser? And what we call an Isser Kolal. So we'll say Isser Kolal means that when you have one Isser that already exists, then there's a second Isser which is more expansive than the first. So the Gemara chooses to use as the paradigmatic example of this, of Nevela on Yom Kippur. So what happens? Before Yom Kippur, I can't eat Nevela. Right? But what? I can eat what? Other food. Comes Yom Kippur and tells me that I can't even eat other food. So the Rabbanan will say, since Yom Kippur devolves upon other foods, therefore what? It also devolves upon Nevela. And therefore, if I eat that Nevela on Yom Kippur, I'll be chayiv twice. Once Kari's for consumption on Yom Kippur, and once Malkus for Nevela. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of Isser Kolal. He does not hold of this principle. Now what that means, we'll see. This time, Rabbi Shimon, Omer ha'ochel Nevela b'yom kippurim pater, bishlam reish lakish, Mishkachas la bilav vehein. So we'll say, according to Reish Lakish, remember again, Reish Lakish was the one ultimately who said that the way to set up the Nevela case, so we'll say, remember again, the Machlokas of Yochanan Reish Lakish on Chav Gimel Amud Beis was how can I set up a case of a Shvua that asers a Nevela when a Nevela is already aser? So Reish Lakish essentially said the way to do it is Pachos Mikizayis. Midoraisa, the prohibition is to eat a kizayis of nevela. If I take a shvua to not eat less than a kizayis, then that would be a case where the shvua, in fact, would be valid. Why? Because I am prohibiting something that is not yet prohibited. Less than a kizayis is not prohibited midrash. So watch this. So bishlam of Reish Lakish, mishkachas la bilav vehein. So according to Reish Lakish, I could figure out a way to set up this case. Bilav and Hain, meaning I could phrase the Shvua in the positive and the negative. How so, Rabosai? Bilav, I could say Shvua shelo ochal pachos mikizayis shal nevela. I swear that I'm not going to eat less than a kizayis of a nevela. The Hain. And Rabosai, I could say it, by the way, in the positive also. I could take a Shvua that I'm going to eat less than a kizayis. Why can I take a Shvua that I'm not that I'm going to eat less than a kizayis, Rabosai? Because on a technical level, that's not Asur Medoraisa. El Rabbi Yochanan, Bishlam alat mishkakosla. Rabbi said, Rabbi Yochanan ultimately, again, who set up the case in the Mishnah as dealing with the case of Bekolel Dvarim Hamutarim, in Dvarim HaAsurim, that the only way to Asur in Avela, Rabbi Osai, is how? Is to take a Shvua that goes ahead and prohibits permitted items, and as a result, and grouping it together with prohibited items, and since the Shvua devolves upon the permitted items, it also devolves upon the prohibited items. El Rabbi Yochanan, Bishlam Allah Mishkachasla, according to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Osai, I understand. I could frame it in the negative. In other words, Shavua, that I won't eat the Nevela. So the Gemara says, Ella, hein, heichem, mishkachasa. But I will say, how can you ever find a positive formulation of that Shavua? Ella kidirava. Rather, you have to say, Rabba. So what does Rabba say? Dama Rabba. Shavua shalo ochal va'achal afer pater. Rabba says that if I take a Shavua not to eat, and I go ahead and what? And I eat afar, and I eat dirt, then ultimately what? I'm going to be potter. Now, what does that tell me? That if I ate other foods that are fit for consumption, even though they are already asr, I will be chayiv. Rav Zabo say, according to Rava, it's only afar, it's only dirt. If I take a shvur not to eat, and I end up eating dirt, so the ma'isik, that's not I'm going to be potter. Why? Because that's not food. But if I eat any other food item, even if what? It's a food item which is already prohibited, I will be chayiv for violating my shvur. Amrat Mari, afana nami tanina. We also learn this. Konein ishti nanisli imachalti hayom. Well, says, listen to this. A man makes a nether. The nether is, I prohibit my wife, I take a nether that my wife should not benefit from me if I ate today. If I ate today, and I will say, what happens? He ate. He ate, right? He ate, he went ahead and he ate prohibited items. Hari ishta asura. We'll say his wife is prohibited to him. So what do you see from here? You see that illegal consumption, right, or prohibited consumption, triggers the nether. So the Gemara says, 1 second. That's not, so we'll say, so what we're the Gemara is bringing this case in an effort to prove Rava's assertion. That's what? That ultimately, again, if you take a shvur not to eat, even if you eat prohibited items, so lemaisa, again, you are in violation of the shvur. The only time you're not going to be in violation of the shvur is if you eat something which is not fit for consumption. And the Gemara brings this case to Zuraya. The Gemara says, this case is not a Gemara, and I'll tell you why. Hachi hashta hasam, kevan de meichara meikara achal, vader shtabli. So we'll say, see, remember what's happening in this case. In this case of the nether, where a man says, konim ishti nanisli machalti ayom, right, I take an editor that my wife should not get any benefits from me if I ate today. So we'll say, and he ate Nevelis Trefa. So we'll say, what's the case? The case is where we discover that he had already eaten Nevelis Trefa Shkatzar Masim. Remember, this case is he's making an editor, let's say, at the end of the day. My wife should be prohibited from getting benefits from me if I ate today. So now what do? We look at his daily log of activities, right? What did you do today? And what do we discover? That, you know, he made the neder at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and at 1 o'clock he ate nevelos, trefo, shkatzim, v'raimasim. That's a big lunch. Right? So what happens, we'll say? So the fact that he already ate them tells us what? Keva de meikara acha bahadir shtavale, since he already ate them, and then only afterwards made the shvua, amud beis, chavtal amabeis, chashuve ach shvile. We'll say, the fact that he ate them tells us that what? That in his opinion, what is this considered? Food. Food. So we'll say, through his actions, he has already been machshiv these items. Through his actions, he has already demonstrated that what? That lemaisa, again, these items are in fact food. Elahacha miachshiv. But we'll say, ultimately, again, in our case over here, where lemaisa again, he goes and he takes a shvua not to eat, and he ends up eating the velas trefa shkatzim v'ramasim. Who says that he ultimately automatically assumes that these items are like food? In other words, the Gemara is saying you're comparing two dissimilar cases. In the case of the konim ishtin anisli, it turns out he has already consumed these items. The fact that he already ate it tells us that he feels their food. Therefore, once he, through his actions, designates it as food, then lemaisa again, of course, it'll trigger the nether. In our case, where he makes a shvur shel ochal, I swear I'm not going to eat, but he has not yet consumed any nevelos trefa shkatzim v'ramasim, who's to say they're reckoned as food? Amar Rava. So Rava says the following, we'll say, my taima, what is the reason? Demandi islay iser kolam. So we'll say, what is the logic of the one who subscribes to this concept of an iser kolam? Right? What's the logic behind it? To which the Gemara says, midi dahava iser mosif, because we'll say, it would seem to be the same concept as an iser mosif. Now, what's this case? We'll say, so I'm going to show you an important Rashi. It's right across. Midi dahava iser mosif. Look at Rashi over here. Diman delesle iser chal al iser. The one ultimately, again, who does not hold, that iser chal al iser, that one prohibition could devolve upon an already existing prohibition, bi iser kol al islay, bi iser mosif, kidamrinan bi yavamis, parakarba achim, modi rabbi yosi bi iser mosif. Suppose to listen to this. So what the Gemara seems to be saying is as follows. In order for one iser to devolve upon another, the second one has to add some type of additional dimension of prohibition. So he gives you an example over here. Isel kol iser kolal karihecha, de iser acharon mosif ala chaticha klum, Aval marbehu isser al ha'adam bidvar machirim. So we'll listen to this. An isser kolel is a secondary isser that does not add any level of isser to the object, but instead places additional isser upon the individual. What's the example of that? He says, kigon nevela b'yom kippurim delo bala asra ela ba'achila uba'achila kvar asurihi mishum nevela nimtza shelo hosif alei isser acharon klum aval ri ba'isura ala adam la'osra b'chol olken sheba olam v'arminon migo dechal yom kippurim ala adam la'asra b'shar olken mishum yom kippurim. So we'll say that's an Isser Kolo. So listen to this case. Nevela on Yom Kippur. Come to the Nevela on Yom Kippur. What's the halacha? I am always prohibited to eat the Nevela. Yom Kippur comes along, and what does Yom Kippur say? In addition to the regular prohibition that I have to eat a Nevela on Yom Kippur, now there's another prohibition of consumption, which is what they both say. Yom Kippurim. What does Yom Kippur say? Yom Kippur say, not only can I not eat nevela, but what? I can't eat anything. Now, here's the interesting shayla. When Yom Kippur comes, has anything changed in the nevela? No. What's changed? Me. Beforehand, I had only an isser of nevela consumption. Now comes Yom Kippur, I have an isser of general food consumption. So therefore, we'll say that's an example of an Isser Kolel. An Isser Kolel means an additional Isser, but the additional Isser doesn't impact the object. The additional Isser impacts the individual. That's an Isser Kolel. On the other hand, Isser Mosif, we'll say this, I told you, it's a very solistic Rashi. What's an Isser Mosif? Isser Mosif is, Kishe Isser Acharon Mosif Al Chaticha Atzma, Dover Shelo Haya Ba Ayidei Isser Rishon. Both saying Isser Mosif ultimately again is where the second Isser adds something that did not exist beforehand in the object. He says, "Va'osra chaticha acharon b'mashahaisim muteres kodem sheba isra acharon." So we'll say Isser Mosif means an additional Isser that does not simply devolve upon the person, but what? Dwells upon the object. So we'll say, an Isser Kolel essentially is a din in the Gavra. I was prohibited in one way, now I'm prohibited in the second way. But the object of prohibition does not change. I'm changing. Isser Mosif means there's a second Isser devolving upon the object itself. What's an example of this? Kigon, Chelev Shel Kodesh. We'll say an example would be sacrificial Chelev. Asur Lecho Mishum Chelev. So listen to this. So sacrificial fats. Sacrificial fats can't be consumed, but one can be offered up on the Mizbeach. Na'asen nosar. However, what happens if it becomes nosar? Well, so remember again, nosar means it's left over past the permitted window of consumption or past the permitted window of offering. Mosif alei iser l'mashahaisa muteres lo dinifsa l'hakrava. V'hochi amrina mitok shechal aleh shem nosar l'ostra l'mizbeach. Ve'ina iser rishon ma'akiv al-idom ilachol, she'in ze iser chal al-iser, chal alei nami iser shem nosar itzal kol odama ochlo le'ischayv ala mishum chelev, u'mishum nosar, af api she'ish kan iser chal iser. So we'll say, watch this. So here's the example. You have a piece of chelev, sacrificial chelev. Can you eat chelev? Can you eat sacrificial chelev? No, you can't. We'll say, what happens? Now imagine for a moment, you miss the sacrificial window. And what happens? Now you miss what happens to that chelev after you miss the sacrificial window? It's called nosar. People say nosar is an additional level of prohibition of any sacrificial item left over past the permitted sacrificial window. People say what happens now? Now a secondary isser devolves upon the chelev. Beforehand, it was just prohibited as sacrificial chelev. Now what? It's sacrificial chelev. That's what they're both saying. That's nosar. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. And that second Isser devolves upon the object. Rabbi say, that's called an Isser Mosif. See, Isser Mosif ultimately, again, is when a secondary Isser devolves upon the object. So Isser Kolel is when a secondary Isser devolves upon the person, but the object remains unchanged. Isser Mosif is when a secondary Isser devolves upon the object. Ultimately, again, now the person, a secondary Isser devolves upon the object. So the Gemara says, let's go back for just a moment. So Amar Rava, we'll say second line from the top. Amar Rava, my time of demand the Isla Isser Kolel. What's the logic of the one who holds that there's an Isser Kolel? Midi de Havia Isser Mosif. So it sounds like that at the end of the day, because it's a derivative of the concept of an Isser Mosif. However, the Gemara says, Uman de Pater, and ultimately the one who says that there is no, we don't subscribe to the concept of an Isser Kolo, the less Uman de Pater, the less lay ki Amar Isser Mosif, the less lay ki Amar Isser Mosif, bechad chaticha, beshtei chaticha slaminan. We'll say, when do we say an Isser Mosif? Only when the second Isser is devolving upon the same object. But if the second Isser devolves upon a second object, we don't say it. I will say, now in this case, ultimately, again, what's the second object? The second object is the person. So when do we say an Isser Mosif? That's only when the second Isser devolves upon the actual object. But in the case of an Isser Kola, what happens, Rabbi Osai? The second Isser devolves upon who? Devolves upon the person, not the object. Therefore, you can't call it a derivative of an Isser Mosif. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Ki amrinan Isser Mosif b'chad echaticha, ki dipirashti, mitoch shechal alei shem Isser sheni eitzol davar shimuteres lo, chal ale af eitzol davar shayis asur lo kivar, ava mechaticha lechaticha lo amrinan, mitoch shechal ala adam eitzol chaticha zu, yochal alav eitzol chaticha acheres, b'kol lo amrinan. So I'll say, ultimately, again, the idea the Gemara says is that you can't tell me that an Isser Kolal is a derivative of an Isser Mosif, because an Isser Kolal involves two different things. It will say either in the case of a Shvua Kolal means I'm answering permitted things with prohibited things, or in the case, the classic case will be this second Isser devolves upon me, not upon the object, as opposed to Isser Mosif, where the secondary Isser devolves upon the actual object itself. To which the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Leman di Isla Isser Kolal. For the person who does subscribe to the concept of Isser Kolal, Amar shvua shela ochal te'inim. If a person says, I take a shvua not to eat figs, because of Amar shvua shela ochal te'inim va'anavim, and he's supposed to listen to this. So shvua number one is, I say I'm not going to eat figs. Then I take a second shvua. I will say, what's the second shvua? I'm not going to eat figs and grapes. So the shayla is about to say what? What's the status? And now obviously, where does the shayla come up? I eat figs. So we'll say, what's the question? How many shvuas have I violated? Have I violated one shvuah or two shvuas? So it sounds like the second shvuah might be repetitive, right? But lamais again, it did introduce something new. So what's the halacha? Do we say, migo dechayel anovim chayel nami ateinim? So do we say ultimately again that since the second shvuah devolved upon the grapes, because the grapes were something new, therefore what? The shvuah also devolved upon the figs, to which the Gemara says, I'm sorry, not do we say? We say the Gemara says, "Migo dechayel anovim chayel nami ateinim." Since the second shvua devolved upon the grapes, it also devolved upon the figs, and therefore, what Rabbi saying, when you go ahead and you eat the figs, what's going to be the halacha? You will be chayiv twice, right, for violating two shvuas. To which the Gemara says, "Pshita, I don't understand. What's the chiddush in that? That's obvious. I'll tell you what the chiddush is. Mal detema, what would I have thought? Isser haba me'ilav aminon, isser haba me'asmo lo aminon. We'll say, I might have thought that an isser kolal is only in what we call an isser haba me'atzmo, only when we're dealing with something that is naturally prohibited, but something ultimately where what? Where there is a generated prohibition, right? A man-created prohibition. I might have thought that isser kolal does not apply. K'mashon Rabbo say that is not the case. K'mashon that halacha l'maisa again, we will say isser kolal even in a case where I myself am the one who is creating ultimately again the isser. Okay, well, we'll come back to that if we have time. So Gemara goes right there. Massive Rava Brei de Rava. So we'll say, so just so you understand, we have some incredible Yisodos over here. So first of all, again, a number of the Yisodos we have. So first, let me just tell you this Rambam, because actually it is important. So first of all, the Rambam says, Shvua Shla Ochal. So the interesting case, so we learned about Isser Kolal, right? So we'll say, which is where, again, there is a secondary Isser that devolves upon the individual. We learned about Isser Mosif, where a secondary Isser devolves upon the object. The interesting question to ponder over here is the impact of shvuas upon things that are already prohibited, right? What's the status if I take a shvua not to eat nevelos? Does such a shvua work or not? So the Rambam Paskin, Rambam says, shvua shelo ochal kol shehu min avelos atrevos, va'achal pachos mikizayis chayiv b'shvua. So let's say, if you listen to the Rambam, the Rambam's case is very interesting. If I take a shvua, that I will not eat any amount of an avela, what's the halacha? And I eat less than a kizayis of an avela, I'm chayiv for violating the shvua. Why? Shari ino mushva achati shir mehar sinai. So we'll say, the way the Rambam paskins is the following. If I take stam a shvua to not eat nevelos, that shvua is meaningless. Why, Rabosai? Because as we've already qualified, stam achila means what? Kizayis. And a kizayis is already biblically prohibited. And to take a shvua prohibiting something which is already biblically prohibited is meaningless. But says the Rambam, if I go in and I take a shvua to eat a kolshu, any amount of an avela, was like kolshu is not asur midoraisa. Therefore, I could take a shua to asur a kolshu, and indeed, if I go ahead and eat any amount of an avela, then what? I will be chay midoraisa. Interestingly enough, chay midoraisa for what? Not for an avela consumption, but rather for what? For violation of my shvua. Okay, just an interesting halacha to know. There's massive rava berei derava. Massive rava berei derava. Listen to this case. A person could eat one thing, right, and be chayiv four chatos and one asham. One asham. I will say, it's better be good, right? I mean, it's better be worth it. What's the example? What's the example of one act of consumption which can generate four chatos liabilities and one asham? Here it is. Ve'elohen, tamei sha'achal chaylev. So first of all, say a person who is ritually impure, who eats chalev, so he's in the Beis HaMikdash, right? Who's eating chalev, he's eating chalev, sacrificial fat, v'hu nosar min ha-mukdashin, and what Rabbi say? It's nosar, so that's what we said before, right? It's chalev, and it's nosar, it's left over, b'yom ha-kippurim, and it's Yom Kippur. So Rabbi say, so if a person does all of this stuff, so the mice again, they can be chayiv four chatos and one asham. Rabbi Meir Mir says, well, listen, we could, why stop there? Why stop there? Afim haisa Shabbos vote Sio Chai. We'll say, listen to this case. If it was Shabbos and I carried it out, right? If it was Shabbos and I carried it out, it would be an additional act of Hotsa. Now Rashi says over here, if you take a look at Rashi, it's about 2, 4, 6, 7 lines up before it gets wide. Afim haisa Shabbos tilo Hotsa Sio Mekipor Lo Mechai because every ain't fine vote Sio Befe B'Shas Chila. We'll say, now the case over here would be, how am I carrying it? I'm carrying it in my mouth while I'm eating it. So, Bosei, listen to this. Now, under normal circumstances, can you put food in your mouth and walk outside on Shabbos if there's no Erev? Yes. Right? Why? Because whatever you're eating is an active, it's a part of your body. Bosei, with Gemara's positing over here, or with Rav's, what Rabbi Meir is positing over here, is that Lamaisa, if what you're eating is prohibited and illegal, that's not considered to be a sanctioned act of consumption, and as such, again, you're carrying that item in your mouth. So Rabbi Meir actually says something interesting. I could add on another prohibition. Let the guy put the chalev in his mouth, right, in the Beis HaMikdash, and he walks out from the Beis HaMikdash into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on Shabbos. So Lamaisa, again, he walks down to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, he'll be chayiv for carrying on Shabbos. To which the Gemara says, "Amru lo ino min Hashem." No, 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 Rabbi Meir, you're missing the point over here. Look, if we're looking to tack on multiple Yisurim, that's easy. But we're looking to figure out how one could generate multiple simultaneous prohibitions through one act of consumption. The act of Hotzah on Shabbos is already a secondary external act. Because after all, if you're just looking for the maximum number of prohibitions you can tack on, there are so many others. V'misa mishkachas lachamish. You can make him five chatos. Kigon shamar shvu. So the Gemara says shvua shelo ochal tamarim v'chelev. So let's listen to this. Because at the end of the day, if you want to tack on additional isurim, I'll give you another one. Let's say this same guy, before he went into the Beis Hamikdash to on Yom Kippur to eat chalev, which was now nosar, he made a shvuah. And what was the shvuah? I swear that I'm not going to eat figs and dates and chalev. Tamarim and chalev. So I'll say, what's the halacha with such a shvuah? Migo de chayla tamarim, chayla nami achalev. So we already learned before that what? That again, this is what's called an Isser Kolel. So once ultimately again the shvuah, once the shvuah is chal on the dates, it's also chal on the tamarim. So I can make him chayv another time. To which the Gemara says, no, no, no. Ki katani, when we're discussing the lists of different yisurim that the person could violate, that's once, isra habon me'ilov. was we're talking about isurim that exist on their own. In other words, isurim that come about on their own, not that come about through my creation. Shvua is an issue that comes out through my creation. Isra ba mi'atzmo lo katani. It was an isurim generated by me, by the individual. We're not focusing on those cases. Aye, is that true? Bahari Hekdish. What about the case of Hekdish? I will say the case of Hekdish generally. Hekdish is a state that only comes about how? Through someone conferring that state on the object. So I say, you see over in the case of Hekdish, that's a created state. Bebechar. We're talking about the chelev of a Bechar, I will say. The Kiddusha Samei Rechem. A Bechar, ultimately, again, is Kaddish already from the beginning. On its own. It's sanctified already from the womb. The other possibility is ki katani midi delesle sheila. So I'll say the other possibility is we're only talking about items or prohibitions which have no revocation or annulment. Shvua the isle sheila lo katani. Ultimately, again, shvua, which I will say can have revocation or annulment, we don't include. I hari hagdish. What about the case of hagdish? I will say which technically speaking can have pidyon, therefore can have redemption. Hauk minam bebechar. Ultimately, again, we're talking about over here with the Bechar. We'll say there is no Sheila, therefore by Bechar. Ibai Seima, ki katani karban kavua. We'll say the other possibility is, when we go ahead and we talk about the nature of these prohibitions, we're talking about a prohibition that generates, an issue that generates what we call a karban kavua, a set karban, karban ola viyoreid lo katani. And we'll say when it comes to a karban ola viyoreid, which would be generated by a shvua, that ultimately we're not including. I hari tami sha'achal es hakodesh. What about the case? Remember, you set this up as a case of a tame ultimately is consuming something sacrificial. The karban ola viyoreidu. And we'll say, he will be subject to a karban ola viyoreid. Binasi. The case we're talking about over here is with the Nasi. It's the Nasi who's committing this Aveira. The Rabbi Eliezer, he da'amar, Nasi may be seer. And I will say this reflects the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir holds that a Nasi ultimately, again, brings the seer, which is a karban kavua. All right, I will say, so we'll stop over here. We'll stop over here. I'll just share with you. We're leaving a little, there's a Mishnah, a few lines down on Chafei Medalev, so we'll finish this up in Meretz Hashem tomorrow. Leaving off a little bit in the middle of this sugya. So just understand, I will say, what Rava was just trying to introduce us to was this concept, ultimately, of one act of achila, which can generate multiple prohibitions, and the Gemara is just trying to figure out what scope of prohibited activity Rav is trying to cover. So we'll continue with this tomorrow. Let me share with you a short idea on the parasha.